Unity, the strength and the sure success.
Out there for a little bit of unity in the truth movement with none of that peace and love and hug a tree and have mung bean sandwiches kind of unity, but more the kind of bro, we're under attack from every conceivable direction by filthy, irritating, gosh darn scumbags, and there's no point fighting amongst each other. Because we're all going to wind up getting ourselves into some enormous pit of infighting whilst our enemy closes in around us. You know, I should think that was somewhat of a military strategy point of view, but there you go. That's what I wanted to really think about, is that the elections and whatnot are just a complete total sham, fraud, and I'm quite frankly, I'm getting really sick of watching the television, you know. In fact, I've been watching it less. It's good. I feel like slightly less brainwashed today. maybe even somewhat giddy, because it is quite the mind-numbing experience. No idea what's going on. Absolutely no idea. Al Jazeera this morning covering the Greek financial crisis. And there's people in Parliament saying, well, we want to do what's responsible for the people and make sure that everything is done the right and proper way as we hand the country over to the banksters based on fraudulent debt. and meanwhile, in response to that BS, there's like copious quantities of people in the street waving banners and going absolutely ape. These people aren't going to get away with jack, man. Honestly. This whole IMF, World Bank, New World Order strategy of crashing economies in order to consolidate them into their fold has been working for quite some time. But no longer. Essentially, how these major international banks work is they get countries monstrously in debt on loan sharking extortionist rates, and then they say that, well, because you can't pay us back the enormous loan shark type rates of interest that we're charging you, we now have to dictate your country's policy for you. And bravo, IMF, bravo, World Bank. That's how you seize control of a government. So you get them monstrously in frickin' debt, then they have to do and implement any kind of austerity measures that they want. No wonder the people are protesting, because that is fraud. You're not supposed to get people into debt from money that's created out of nothing so that you can seize control of their government. It's not a healthy or nice thing to do. One could conceive, of course, that Let's just back up here. Back to the Greek situation. They have all these people in the streets. They have the politicians in the house saying the exact same things, translated, of course, that my politicians are saying in English down here in New Zealand. And in fact, they're also saying the exact same things that Hitler, Lord and Saviour Barack H. O. Barry Hussein Obama is saying. How interesting that politicians and parliaments all around the world have the exact same language and, incidentally, the exact same financial situation. Do you think that's a coincidence? You know, there's people out there who still believe in the system against all the odds. It's incredible to me. Well, of course, there's very little decent information out there. And I'll be the first to admit that, quite frankly, the information that I put out on when I talk is also not the best information in the world out there. You know, I'm prepared to say that because I'm not the most educated or well-researched person on earth. The only difference is I'm just not that frickin' stupid as some of these educated people are. But in terms of the choice of guests that we normally have on this show, I think that it's more the fact that we accumulate a wealth of knowledge for myself and both for the listeners. I reckon that's probably a pretty good thing, don't you think? Just being able to sit down and listen to incredibly intelligent, talented people 5 days a week, 2 hours a day on the Vinnie Eastwood show. Excluding myself, of course. But, you know, there we go. I find myself listening to the archives and everything too. It's quite interesting. You know, and please, by all means, I've got people, I've, one of my listeners call me up on the phone, right, and it's the middle of the night, he's a bit drunk. It's quite funny. And he tells me at least three times in the conversation that he goes in and to every gas station. And at every gas station, he asks them, hey, can your computer go on the internet? And they go, yep. And he go, can you get audio on that? And they go, yep. And he goes, yeah, go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. And I was like, oh, cheers, bro. That's pretty awesome. And I suppose that's the way it goes, you know. In fact, his sister is a virulent listener to the show. Some might say obsessive. And I love it, man. I love it. Because I'm glad that there is at least some sort of a, I don't know, some sort of a growing awareness in New Zealand that things aren't as they seem. And it appears to me, and I believe Alexa.com agrees with me, that alternative media is skyrocketing in popularity whilst mainstream media is plummeting. A mass awakening. And that's has that ever happened before? A mass awakening, like the whole world just all of a sudden getting the picture. And it's all because of little things like what my listener does. Okay? You have to expose everybody you meet to, you know, random people that you're only going to have contact with for 5 seconds. Somebody at a shop, how many people do they come into contact with every day? Okay, you know, think about it like like spreading the Ebola virus, right? That's what the Vinnie Eastwood show is. It's the Ebola virus of talk radio. And I'll probably say it's a tad less deadly. Probably a bit more corrupting, though. But otherwise, when we talk about the alternative media, what instantly springs to mind is the fact that the people who feature in alternative media are generally pretty freaking humble people, and they don't know how to promote themselves or get themselves out there, and they require others to do it for them. Now, me, fortunately, I was born without a sense of shame. So I shamelessly go and find all these people that are absolutely brilliant, fabulous, whatever, that are all humble and stuff, and you know, don't want to rock the boat too much. Meanwhile, they're getting thrown in prison, or they're having their houses taken off them, or they're having trials held in secret behind their backs and getting arrested when they come back home to the airport. They're having their taxes faked and doctored by the government and stuff like that to frame them up and set them up, and being thrown in jail only to be acquitted 5 years later with no compensation, and all of this kind of stuff. Those people devote their freaking lives to serving humanity. Okay, the guests that we have on this show, the bulk of them. Okay, and as far as I'm concerned, it is the media's gosh dang job to give coverage to those kind of people. Not these politicians dressed in ubiquitous suits that are the exact identical type of manufacture to the business talking head pundit scum that we have on things like Voice of America. I incidentally was watching a movie last night called Idiocracy, okay? And I saw the newscast with this guy with his shirt off and his rippling muscles and whatever, and the woman was like some kind of a Playboy bunny, you know? And then I switched the channel and it was E-Television Tonight. And there was this big, tall, handsome guy with sparkling teeth and well done hair and a press suit and some bimbo next to him with the great, you know, earrings and cleavage showing and stuff. And I said, well, mate, in the movie Idiocracy, it was pictured to be 500 years in the future. And I figure at the rate we're going, it's like 10, 20 years in the future, you know? They're talking about like this major dust bowl and food crisis and economic crisis and intelligence crisis and everything basically just being completely screwed up because everybody's too dumb to manage anything properly. And the medical system just completely ballses everything up, kills people, whatever, and the roads are in disrepair. The whole thing's like an absolute chaos and wasteland. And you know, it appears to me that, hey, we're kind of living on that already to a certain degree. And what I believe is truly the problem with our society is precisely what that movie connotes, is that stupid people just keep getting stupider. And the smarter people are, the more they use their manipulative ability to get the stupid people to do what they want, so it benefits themselves. You know, it's not real hard. Lots of tyrannical empires and dictators have used sophisticated propaganda techniques to brainwash the population into doing what they want, and to further dumb them down so that those who question and have a think about it for a moment or whatever, to see the lie through the through the veil of truth, hey, those people become really dangerous because they might actually just wake somebody up. You know, like I said about the virus or whatever, as soon as you figure out about the New World Order, you can become incredibly dangerous. But you got to know how to spread it, man. Honestly, that's the real difficulty, is that you can walk up to people and, oh, man, I hate to rag on YouTube, but my goodness, YouTube has produced some of the most hostile, ridiculously abusive, condescending, ruthlessly human race abandoning filth that I have ever known. Right? There's people comment on my videos all the time. Oh. And if you have not experienced this, post a video about something that's truthful, okay? Whether it be the courts being corrupt, or the government being a sham, or ambushing a media hack, or something. And sure enough, here they come, these type of retarded, I believe in the system because the system loves me so much, even though I've never seen any evidence to corroborate it. And I'm just going to repeat to you precisely what I've repeated beforehand if you question what I'm yelling at you about this time. That's what it is. That's the level of these people's intelligence. If you disagree with me, I'll simply repeat what I've already said until you do. There is no understanding. There is no listening. There is no negotiating. There is simply repetition. The brainwasher's guide to your mind, ladies and gentlemen, is repetition. You repeat a lie often enough, and people begin to believe it. I think it was either Adolf Hitler or Joseph Goebbels, the father of Nazi propaganda, who coined that phrase. This is how political debates are won, lost, and carried on over. This is how people in elections never, ever wind up serving the people. This is how every time an election rolls by, it either gets faked or somebody who screws over the country gets into power. Usually both. It doesn't make any sense to me, of course, but that's because I know the truth. And that's the reason why a lot of people don't like it. They don't like hearing this kind of information because it damages their fragile worldview. Seriously, do you have any idea how much effort it takes to build up a freaking worldview and how much of a challenge it might be to come up with another one? Okay? All your previous experience on this planet has come up to this point in time, and somebody comes along and says, look, bro, it's all been built on a lie. Sorry, you're going to have to start over. After you've just spent your life building a worldview. You know, that's not an easy ask for some people. Surely there's got to be some kind of a midway point here. Well, I don't want to just have to go out and all stream abuse at these people on YouTube, but I do because it's fun. But the problem is, I just want to make peace, and I just want to have some fun with people that I will learn something from. And to a certain extent, I do learn stuff from these yelling, squeamishly crying individuals. I learn that I'm continuously astounded at just how correct I would be if I was more cynical. That's the problem. I need to be more cynical. Because, hey, if I was more cynical, I'd be correct more of the time. Because the world is a very, very, very dark place when you look at it, really. I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, when I walk out my door, I've got jackbooted thugs on me all the time. You know, we live in the illusion of a free society. It's great, you know, in the meantime. But, of course, it only has to be inside a framed paradigm. If you step out of that paradigm, if you start talking about things that aren't approved by particular panels of quote-unquote experts, you may have some problems. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show.
Accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, proudly brought to you in collaboration with GorillaMedia.co.nz, New Zealand's alternative media. It seems, of course, like alternative media is really, really kind of necessary in this state of affairs, especially amidst the Fukushima crisis, which is of epic proportions. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, the phone lines are now open for the first hour. I was supposed to have the Greek calling in, so if you're listening, Greek bro, now's your cue to ring us on, and the number is 402-237-2525. That's 402-237-2525, and we'll be having Vince Seymour, who's a anti-corruption campaigner in the New Zealand courts, joining us from Georgia. He's doing a little bit of a business trip in the States at the moment, and he should be joining us in the second hour. Now, moving on, talking about the Greek financial crisis. I love it because let's just say it makes a hell of a lot of things make sense to me. Okay? The EU, this is how it came round. Economic prosperity partnerships and trade deals, etc., the European Economic Community, all these incremental steps over a period of decades managed to bring about this type of crisis by design in order to consolidate the wealth into fewer and fewer hands. That we all know, but the mechanisms and the pervasiveness one does not fully comprehend to a large extent. I certainly don't. get this. There's a lot of stuff going on out there in this world right now that is quite freaky and makes you look up and go, what the heck is that? Like, for example, an SBX. It's a mobile seagoing radar platform. Okay? It looks like an oil rig with a giant radar dome on it. Just with two massive engines down the bottom, trundling along in the middle of the frickin' ocean. And you see a picture of this on guerrillamedia.co.nz today, if you go there. And I looked at that this morning, and, mate, that just scares the heck out of me. I mean, they really are serious about this whole military command and control warfare type thing, aren't they? We're spending billions of dollars. You know, we could end world hunger and poverty and war and whatever tomorrow. But these people just want to, you know, spend all their money on killing people, tracking and tracing people, controlling people. That. Oh, man. Wish we just had some kind of backbone in this freaking society. Don't you know how long it took for society to have some kind of a backbone to stand up against their masters and whatnot? I mean, we got all this stuff since Magna Carta, and it's all been thrown away. Eradicated. Seems to have been eradicated in the space of a generation. You know, the baby boomer generation. As soon as they were born, as Eisenhower warned, the disastrous rise of misplaced power, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex has ensued. We wake up in the morning and the military-industrial complex has made our bedsheets. Made our clothing, it's made our aftershave, all of it with chemicals and poisons and things like that, all of which by themselves, isolated, aren't that threatening at all. But cumulatively, constantly, you are assuredly going to get sick. That's how the whole scam works. Every time you talk to somebody about, say, the toxicity of fluoride, that's what they say. It's only a small amount of toxicity. It can't do anything, you know. Water could kill you, blah, 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 blah. And you say, well, mate, the recommended dosage of fluoride in your water supply, okay, is exceeded for a single individual by having but one glass of water. Not even one glass of water. And they've already exceeded the amount of fluoride toxicity their body can handle that day. All right? And you've got ads everywhere telling people to have up to 8 glasses of water. Okay? You wonder why society's being dumbed down and getting sick everywhere, everybody dying of fucking cancer? Wake up! You're having command and control warfare implemented on you. You're being brainwashed through the television. You're being poisoned through your water supply, poisoned through your food supply. All the products that you get given the choice to buy are frickin' poisoned as well. I remember speaking to when I was a salesman for a major telecommunications corporation. I went down to a toy importer. And at the time, we were talking about lead paint on the toys that had arrived in New Zealand from China. He informed me that it wasn't the Chinese fault, that it was, in fact, the American corporation, Mattel, that had specified the use of lead paint on the toys. They are doing this deliberately. It's not the cheapest form. There is no excuse. This is straight genocide being committed by incredibly well-funded, well-organized, well-secretive groups. Okay? Make no mistake. Bear in mind, of course, that this doesn't mean that you should go freaking out and worry about everything. After all, you wouldn't accomplish much by worrying about stuff. However, getting angry about it, that might actually accomplish something. That's assuming, of course, you get angry about it and do something about it. So many people I have met in the street offered to help me doing what I'm doing, you know. And to this day, very, 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 very few and select people have done so. Okay? Because, you know, it takes motivation. It takes self-control. It takes self-sacrifice to do what people in the truth movement do. Some human beings simply don't cut the mustard. You know, I'm sorry to say it, but it's very, very, very true. If you don't get busy when you're on your off time, if you spend all of your time relaxing, then, well, you're going to get what you deserve, okay? And that's what a lot of these people who comment on YouTube and that kind of thing, who attack people like me, don't get. Is that it's because of people like me that they have their freedoms still to rag on me about. I mean, is that what life is about to these people? Finding excuses why other people can't have their say? Because they got nothing to say themselves. Nothing that hasn't already been told to them. They're being told to think things, and they believe in them enough to start preaching them to other people. And I suppose that there's an element of that in the truth movement as well. That's why I operate under a lot of assumptions. You know, people might say operating assumptions are a bad thing, and I say, well, it depends on the assumption. For example, I assume that everything I know to be true is in fact wrong, and I simply have not been presented with the contrary evidence as yet. So I'm going to keep believing it until somebody produces something that's different. Okay? If you ever hear me say something that's incorrect, it's because I'm incorrect. It's not because I'm some kind of disinfo agent or whatever, some description of conspiracy. It's because I'm not the most documented person on earth, you know? I interview copious amounts of people, talk to copious amounts of people, make videos and run a website and all that kind of jazz, but I'm not God. Don't have perfect memory. I could be wrong and, you know, don't go preaching up what I'm telling you and don't join the frickin' cult of Vinny or any cult for that frickin' matter, because that's what people's problem is, man. They put other people up on a frickin' pedestal and they devote themselves to them. And it's kind of like watching a sitcom or a soap opera for housewives who've got nothing going on in their life and they get to basically live their wasted life through an image on a television. You know, and in some cases people become obsessed and live a wasted life through a voice on the radio. And, you know, I don't do that, man. Honestly. Your voice is just as important as anybody else on the radio or television. In fact, it's far more important because it's your voice. It's the only one that you can control. And that's the problem with a lot of people, though, is that they choose to talk nothing but what they hear on TV, but what they hear on the radio. They don't know the value of their own voice because they can't think about what to say by themselves. Because they don't know who they are anymore. We've got a whole generation so confused and this prevailing dialectic of apathy, which has driven people to alcohol, drugs, sex, getting into massive amounts of debt, buying crap that they can't afford, that they don't need, storing copious quantities of accumulated objects and comestible products in their homes. It's just freaking out of control, man. People really are crazy. And you know, when people call me nuts and say that I'm talking about something that has no real problem, there's no real problems anywhere, anytime, any freaking place, you know, not in my freaking backyard, sonny boy, no, that kind of stuff couldn't happen here. I've got news for you. Two words. In progress. The whole country's been freaking taken over. And everybody's minds, wallets, and spiritual entities are being enslaved ever so incrementally. They've stolen this generation. That's what they've done. Stolen my generation, and they've depressed the older generation. That's what's happened. That's why a lot of older patriots don't have any faith in the movement no more, in the cause, or whatever. Because they've been disillusioned by a whole generation of scum. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. We represent those scum. Welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Incidentally, the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com, proudly brought to you by GorillaMedia.co.nz. Now, moving on to this radar story. The Thing Dome, all right, and listen, imagine you're looking at, again, as I said, a giant, massive radar dome that's on top of, like, an oil rig, you know, clear 100 feet in the air or something. I don't know. It's massive. 125 feet high. And officially being, and the dome itself is 100 foot high. So it's 125 foot oil rig platform with a 100 foot tall radar array on the top. This thing's frickin' gargantuan. What the heck is the financing going on over there? We've got like millions of people in the U.S. living on food, 30, 40 million people in the U.S. or something on food stamps, and they've got enough money to build a 225-foot tall sea floating radar array. Oh, goodness gracious. Why? Goodness, it really does tick me off, man. And it's officially being billed as an innocuous Doppler radar. It was supposedly was towed to the South Seattle Harbor from Alaska, although, of course, it's just as likely to have come from the coast of Japan. I say this because I feel, as do others, that this could be mobile marine component of the top secret multi-purpose harp weapon that many, including myself, was used to engineer the geobiocidal nuclear catastrophe now unfolding in Fukushima since March 11, 2011. In a paper on harp, geoscientist senior doctor Rosalie Battelle has mentioned that a similar configuration on an oil rig operated by SAIC, the Science Applications International Corporation, the largest but least known U.S. military contractor, was seen off the coast of Bandi Atchi several days before the Christmas tsunami that killed over 250,000 people. SAIC was soon after awarded a multi-billion dollar contract for the Pacific Tsunami Warning Buoy System for the Pacific Rim region, in what may be a classic example of wreckonomics. The Wikipedia article on the SBX from which the picture above has been taken tends to support this assertion, since it states that the SBX is operated by military contractors and not enlisted military personnel. Now, what a lot of people don't realize is that the military has a lot of private contractors. Okay? A lot. They're quite dangerous people. You know? That's what Blackwater is all about. Private military contractors. In other words, mercenaries. What did the British Empire turn to when they couldn't just straight up defeat the Americans on the ground? They brought in German mercenaries. That's right. This is what the world has come to, ladies and gentlemen. The US has been built up as this gargantuan military machine to try and impose a sort of military stability globally, so it can project its dominance. It's got bases in virtually every country. Spends more money on weapons than the next, like, 5, 10, 15, however many countries combined. So, do you think that for some reason the American military machine, the military industrial complex, is just going to stop at having bases in nearly every country? Are you going to think that they're going to stop at invading countries for absolutely no reason? No. They'll get away with whatever they're getting away with for as long as we let them. I don't understand. People, I think, have lost their sense of responsibility to their country. And I would postulate that it's possibly because there's so many distractions. You know, as soon as somebody becomes a parent, for example, mate, for a lot of them, their political ambitions and willingness to fight a new world order and bring about positive change simply drift by the wayside like that, because they just don't have the time, the energy, or the inclination, because, hey, they've got a big, big distraction. An important distraction, mind you, but of course, what's the point in bringing your child upright if the society that they wind up living their adult life in will simply persecute people like that? You know, that's my question. You know, why don't you take your kids on protests? Why don't you talk to them about things like this? You know, tell them the truth. Remember, I had Ian Wishart on the show. He's a author of a book called Aircon, The Seriously Inconvenient Truth About Global Warming, calling it the scam. And his boy was in a classroom in New Zealand, obviously, a UN-loving nation. And the UN loves our nation too, because, boy, are we a well-travelled bunch of people. We're the most internationalist society on Earth today. If you want to gauge the public's reaction to something, test it on New Zealand, because we're pretty much like everybody else, all combined. And we have a lot of knowledge of everywhere else. We're not very insular. We're very, very much an outward-looking country. Okay? You know? And what's happening in New Zealand, as I said in this classroom, they were praising the UN, talking about its universal declarations of human rights. Ian Wishart's boy comes up and he says, well, I think the UN is a tool for world government and they're going to enslave us with carbon taxes. At the time, Ian must have been thinking, oh, that's my boy. And I can't wait to have children and have them coming home with stories like that about how they stood up to their teachers and they called them World Bank stooges and slime and stuff. Oh man, that'd be grand. That'd be great, you know, a whole new generation of anti-New World Order folk. You know, seriously, every truther out there, there's no harm in it to educate your children in the ways of being a truther and teaching them about alternative health and how 9/11 was an inside job and how the politics are a sham. All from the get-go, because the child will wake up thinking that's normal. They'll think that everybody else knows that. And you know, soon enough, they'll realize that they're very, very special indeed, that, you know, we've robbed them of their opportunity to be a complete, unknowledgeable slave. It's like the second you're born, you get given a red pill. Now, some would say that that's an absence of free choice. But if you're unaware that you're a slave, if you're unaware of history, then you don't get a choice about whether or not you're a slave. You are by default. That's my take on it anyway. And I think that concurrently, there are a massive quantity of brainwashing mechanisms that are being used on the children. Okay? All their television shows, all their education, it's all brainwashing to stop them from frickin' thinking, from keeping them simple. You know, a lot of people use a television as a simple babysitter now because it just mesmerizes them and they can just sit there watching it for hours and hours and hours. Oh, now I'm sleepy. How much parenting and how much learning got done in the time that they were watching television? Freaking none. Okay? Used to be that when people sat around the dinner table, they would be able to talk to each other. But now, we all sit around this big glowing box that talks to us. Isn't it beautiful? Isn't it mesmerizing? If ever there was a personification of a mosquito being burned to a crisp in one of those electric blue lightning thingies that you hang outside of your porch with its copious quantities of bugs, this would be it. I can't help it. It's so beautiful. Oh, it got me. I got propagandized. See, that's what I'm talking about. We'll just moth to the propaganda. Unbelievable. You know, it's like catnip for a child's imagination. If you are thinking, you That's what needs to be accomplished in order to bring about a world government. Like I always say, it's just steal a single generation and that every subsequent one will be absolutely screwed because they'll brainwash each other all on their own. You won't have to push the reset button or nothing, and bugger all of them will wake up because all the people that really do try to wake people up will get persecuted and probably thrown in jail through some description of KGB-type Stasi if the carbon taxes don't kill them first. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. And we'll be right back.
In the belly of the vulture, watch your back. There's no civilians, women, children, front lines. Listen, consider this a distant early warning. The fire's imminent, pollution gathering dust particles funneling through smokestacks, airwaves, bandwidth, disinformation, true fed. Check the labels, delete the virus, alert the masses.
Number two of the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, proudly brought to you by GorillaMedia.co.nz. It's the lighter side of genocide because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humor, you'll go friggin' nuts. I'm your host, Vinnie Eastwood, and unlike many hosts on this network, I'm from New Zealand. So the interesting part is, I wanted to think about this of recent times, is that we're now entering into an international community whether or not we like it. Now, I'm very concerned by this development. Very concerned. Specifically because I don't like the idea of any kind of globalism. I don't think that the world needs to unite on any front. Okay? As far as I'm concerned, disparate bandying around and diplomacy and all of that kind of stuff works just fine. The problem is we have overriding forces that control all that kind of crap at the moment, and they're not working properly, as they should. And it's my take that this kind of corruption, grand scale, to people who accumulate large amounts of power, wealth, and influence tend to use that for their own ends. What do men with power want? They just want more power. And when I think about it, I think, well, why is it that people actually give other human beings inordinate amounts of power over large amounts of other people? You know, I mean, I can understand that perhaps a fire chief would be in control of a fire station, okay, because they need to have training, direction and such so that they can do an effective defense against fire in the city. I mean, back before there were fire brigades and things like that, people would just have to run out of their homes and grab buckets and whatever and try and save it the old-fashioned way. But they decided to get professional and get somebody in charge in every town of fighting fires. And that's what politicians are supposed to be. They're basically supposed to be the social firefighters. If there really is a big F problem, like unemployment's out of control, or bribery and corruption's out of control, or basically, only if there's a crisis, supposedly some politician will produce a solution. Now, in principle, I have no disagreement with that. The problem is, they created the crisis for which they're promoting the solutions, which inordinately give them more power and influence over the rest of us. Or at least that's my take, and I could be wrong. And I certainly hope I am, but I don't think so. That's why the elections are all a sham. That's why you'll never actually ever get a say in this kind of thing. I mean, be realistic. Understand the limitations on yourself. You are incapable of being represented by somebody who doesn't know you, who has nothing in common with you. That's my feeling on it. I would never, ever dare to represent anybody else. You know, I represent me and only me because I do and say things that a lot of people just don't want to be associated with. And that's quite understandable because I'm not very polite sometimes. The difficulty, of course, for me, is that I have to live here in this world. And I see it going to the dogs. I truly do. It's clearly evident by any form of statistical or scientific or historical analysis that this world truly is run by sociopathic psychos who want all the power and money for themselves. Okay? That is something that people need to get through their minds first and foremost. Don't underestimate the power of propaganda. And what would a whole bunch of sociopathic psychos do if they had all the money, all the media, all the medicine, and all the military, and all the M&Ms as well, incidentally? They would try to take you over. First in your mind, and then, if that doesn't work, they're going to have to take you out in reality. That's the thing about when you speak out, there's various methods of control that they use on you. And I do want to delve into this subject because of the fact that is now, to my mind, and I haven't been experiencing this for a long time, now seems to be happening a lot more to patriots and truthers and stuff all over the place. They're getting set up. Set up in a number of ways. Number one, false police intrusion. Come onto your property for something like a power bill, which you've had a dispute about, but have already paid. In fact, overpaid. And then when you tell them to get off your property, because there's no reason for them to be there and they're trespassing, they bludgeon you, make your head bleed in front of your pregnant wife. Okay? That's one method that gets used. Another method that gets used is threatening phone calls, threatening either yourself or your family. If that doesn't work, then perhaps they'll call protective services. And they'll have somebody come and take your children, as happened to Christy from Truth Brigade Radio, God bless her, who had her kids taken away from her on the anniversary of her show, first year on air, while she was frickin' live police come into her house and take her girls off her. There's other methods as well. Abusive emails. I've received a few. And like I mentioned before, copious quantities of abusive stuff on YouTube. The whole central theme here is to make you feel hated, insecure, and isolated. They make you feel hated because they spread all this hate on you. You're a scum. You're an oxygen thief. You're a degenerate. You don't have the right to say anything. Do you like that? That was my Henry Kissinger voice.
They will bring about the New World Order.
And I noticed something about Kissinger. Has anybody else noticed that when he speaks, have you ever heard that, like in the 70s or something, there was a rumor going around that when you played records backwards, they could hear the voice of Satan coming through those records, and it sounded exactly like Henry Kissinger. Like, seriously, you could be playing backwards Ozzy Osbourne, and it'll come out,
"There's a need for a new world order, and we will destroy everybody who resists us with vaccines and technological weaponry and biological weapons that we will release into the population via subway systems."
You know, that's like a or maybe not. Maybe that's my imagination running wild. But, you know, I don't know. I just see the whole thing about the New World Order and the fight against them as simultaneously an incredibly serious, serious topic. Most serious, conceivably have with anybody. And in fact, you can have conversations with people and in mid-sentence, they won't say anything. They will get up and they will walk away. Okay? What type of talk that is of, you know, delivered in a reasonable type talking fashion? You're not going crazy or yelling or screaming or anything. What type of behavior requires somebody to literally just leave the room because they just can't deal with this? It's happened to me a couple of times, actually. Might be a pattern. Apparently in the intelligence world, it's very different from the real world. In the real world, if something happens, it's an incident. If that thing happens twice, it becomes a coincident. And if it happens three times, it is a pattern. And in the CIA, the modus operandi is if there is one incident, it's treated as enemy action, as a pattern. Instant. That's how they work. How is it that a society like ours can cope with a form of tyranny like that? I'm not sure if that's possible. But then again, humans have lived under worse reigns of terror before, and humanity survived. But of course this goes on to the whole doomsday side of it. How many frickin' doomsdays have you survived? I think I must have survived like, I don't know, 8 or something. Seriously, there was the Nostra dumbass prediction in like 99 or whatever. There was this recent Prophet Messiah who apparently got it wrong for the second time after blowing copious quantities of money and performing a huge psyop on the whole of humanity of how they would respond to a predicted apocalypse. And you know, as everybody assuredly would, they thought that it was just the crazy ramblings of a madman. And as it turns out, they were right on the money. This showed enormous strength for me, because it means that there's at least some common sense and intelligence out there in the human race still that resists the programming nature of our system. Get up in the morning, switch on the TV, get the morning news, get in your car, you switch on the radio, and you get the morning news again. And it's the exact same news. How interesting. And then you go into work, and you have all that pre-programmed stuff that you have to do. Lists and tasks and this, that, and the other. Unquestioning authority. Of course, you have to have no back chat or anything to a customer on the phone or to your boss, because you could face reprimand, you could face a complaint, or if you expose the company for doing a criminal practice, you'll probably get fired and maybe have a few other terrible things happen to you. As has happened to me and many other people. Why is it that everybody's got a bad story about their work life, but nobody's connected the dots that working in itself is a big trick? I mean, I understand the need to make money, but what are you creating? What are you manufacturing or bringing into existence when you're just like a clerk at a store? You're not doing much at all. That's the problem we've got. There's this kind of slave culture society where nobody knows how to make anything. Nobody's got the creativity it takes to, say, compose a musical score just, you know, by tapping a few bars on a computer keyboard. You know? Shoot, man. Making beautiful works of art and whatnot ain't that difficult. It's going to take the time to do it. Preferably by watching less television. A study has just come out that New Zealanders are sleeping longer and watching more hours of television. Hold on a second. Nobody's feeling more rested, though. And nobody's getting any better informed. You'd figure with a statistic like that, one would think that, hey, maybe everybody's a little bit more medicated. Can't turn off the TV soon enough. Doped up in a deeper sleep or whatever. That's just my total cynical assumption, of course, and it's probably wrong. But you get the idea. Probably not too far off. You know, living in a toxic soup, this society here, man. It's ridiculous. You know, in a word, our society is effing ridiculous. Nothing makes any sense. It's all mad. You know why? It was run by madmen. And the reason why they've been getting away with running it like madmen for so freaking long is because you're not a crazy person. You don't think like they do. You don't think that taking control of a city and a society and building this big eugenics empire and executing people by their millions in camps and pre-planning this decades in advance so that you've got enough body bags stockpiled to put the half the American population into a furnace. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, and we'll be right back after the break.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No one like me.
Yeah. Keeping it Bankster on the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Speaking of Bankster, my very special guest, Vince Seymour. Welcome to the show, mate.
A good day to you, whatever time it is there, Vinny.
Yeah, well, I think it's like it's 11:22 a.m. over here, and I believe it's like, I don't know, like 6 o'clock for you or something.
Yeah,
a little
after 6, yeah.
Yeah, about 20 6 past 6 p.m., you know, like yesterday.
I'm ready to go to bed.
Yeah. Well, I see that 2 weeks ago, you had a wee trial based upon you breaching a suppression order. Now, there's these big terror trials, ladies and gentlemen, that took place in New Zealand in October a couple of years back. And basically, the judge ruled that 7 out of the 9 warrants issued for these so-called terror trial raids where they pointed guns at children's heads were ruled unlawful. And then the judge unlawfully sealed the judgment and said nobody could report on his judgment. And so Vince Seymour, obviously not being a spineless, worthless leech on society, did report on this, and now they're trying to frickin' throw him in jail. Is that about the size of it, Vince?
Well, yeah, there's a little bit of a twist to it. The Court of Appeal actually overruled the High Court judge, saying that, yeah, all the land search warrants were valid. That was on the application or the appeal of the Crown. So now we have a situation where all those have been declared legal after the lower court judges said they weren't. But it's very interesting because you said a couple years back, it's actually time's flying. It was October 2007 that our news was consumed with our own version of 9/11, and that was that 18 terrorists, homegrown terrorists, had been arrested and held without bail, and they appeared in the dock, and we had a judge, her name was Helen Winkleman, a high court judge, in revoking bail on the one that was granted bail, and he was only out for one day, said she actually read comments from the affidavit about how he was declaring war on this country. And she said that was proof of how dangerous he was, and presumably that the presumption of innocence ought not apply to these people. What was interesting is, because the public was shielded from this, they didn't know what the police evidence was or wasn't. I was one of the few at the time who actually was slipped a copy of it, of the police evidence, and it was, quite frankly, largely contrived. I mean, there was a lot of stuff going on, but these people were not terrorists. In fact, to set the record straight, they aren't now charged as terrorists. They're charged with arms violations and a novel twist on the law. The police are charging some of them as participating in an organized crime group. But it's quite interesting because the public isn't seeing even the trial itself, what's going on. This trial, well, the trial itself hasn't occurred, but the procedural moves, one of which you mentioned was the suppression of the judgment that actually determined that a lot of the police warrants were unlawful. The public's not hearing this. I'm printing it, and I'm facing prison for it. And like you mentioned, 2 weeks ago, there was a two-day trial in Wellington for contempt of court for breach of a suppression order. And the judges have reserved their decision. And this will be the second time, if they go through with it, that I'm going to be in prison for this kind of breaching of suppression orders. It was very interesting. My lawyer stood up before the court and he said, there's no provision for a judge to suppress a judgment in a criminal trial. He said, he says that under the Crimes or the Criminal Procedures Act, a judge can suppress certain evidence, certain submissions, and the names of parties to protect witnesses and that. There's no provision under the Act. And more pertinently, the Act says unless there's provisions under that Act or similar legislation, a judge can't suppress anything further. So he stood up at court and he said to the judges, and this really made him angry, but I tell you, he's a very gutsy lawyer, one of the few, because most of them are quite subservient to the authority from the bench. He said, well, the judge has actually been acting unlawful that issued the suppression orders. Mr. Seymour should be applauded because he's the one that's holding the judges to account. Mr. Seymour hasn't broken the law. What you're saying is he's breached a judge's order to suppress something that wasn't lawful.
Yeah, I know. It's like, I suppress you again!
Yeah.
They're like these evil Mexican Comanchero kind of people. I'm surprised they weren't wearing ponchos with gargantuan moustaches riding into the courtroom on horseback with a blanket on top. You know? Come on.
Well, it was worse than that. They were wearing black robes.
Oh. Were they wearing pointy hats, too?
Well, you don't know. That's coming next. I don't know. It's getting so bad. You mentioned about the land search warrants, which is interesting enough. I mean, this is quite serious. 18 people were held without bond for a month. They weren't given the opportunity to have bail. Do you know that on WikiLeaks, there's a document that says the U.S. Embassy in Wellington was advised 2 months after the raid and all these people being held in prison without bail, that they're unlikely to face custodial sentences. So the New Zealand government is advising the U.S. Embassy that despite the fact that we're being told as citizens of New Zealand that these people are terrorists, that privately the police are telling the embassy, oh, well, these aren't really terrorists. They're not likely to face custodial sentences. Now, that begs a lot of questions about how serious we need to look at the authority here. But another question that pops up is, why are they advising the U.S. this? Well, it's interesting. Since 9/11, there's been a proliferation of legislation around the world to suppress quote-unquote terrorism. And New Zealand passed its own Terrorist Suppression Act in 2002, so they were pretty quick off the mark. As a result of that, whenever terror at home hits the country, the U.S. is quick to offer assistance, presumably on the assumption that there's real terrorism there. So I don't know if because of these elite cops that were trained right after that, that all of a sudden they have to show their muscle. But lo and behold, 5 years, almost the day after the Terrorist Suppression Act was passed in New Zealand, we have this elite training group rounding up 35 people and holding 18 of them without bail. And worse, the New Zealand public knows nothing about it. Interestingly enough, this trial 2 weeks ago and why I'm facing prison now is because I actually reported that this judge, Winkleman, has now determined that these 18 defendants can't have trial by jury. And that's a very serious road to ruin.
Yeah. Well, they're actually abolishing juries left, right, and center, even for general crimes and things of that nature. I believe if the sentence is less than, seven years?
There's talk. It hasn't happened with legislation yet. So far, it's been by judicial fiat. In fact, the law actually says under the New Zealand Bill of Rights Act and the Crimes Act that someone facing more than 6 months prison is entitled by right to a trial by jury. We have not had, and also in the civil trials, the Judicature Act says that under Section 42A, that anybody suing for civil damages and only civil damages can elect the trial by jury, a plaintiff can, or a defendant, for that matter. Judge, we haven't had a civil trial by jury in New Zealand in, I want to say, 5 years.
What?
Yeah, there hasn't been one. It's all been by judge alone. And the problem with that in a small country where all the judges are related, so, you know, we talk about the 1 degree of 2 degrees of New Zealand, and judges, it's like a fraction of a degree. They're all related.
Speaking of degrees, can I ask you something? Freemasons New Zealand have a policy where basically it's mostly only people that you're related to that will be let in or invited to be members of the Freemason organization. And apparently there's high-level Freemasons in the court system as well. Have you heard of this?
I hear it all the time. I don't really know much about the Freemasons, the group in that. Of course, I think that organization is by its nature secretive. I don't know if that's good or bad. I'm just saying that if it is that way, that could explain why I know very little about it. So I'm not really the one to ask about it because I just don't know. I've heard it alleged, but I can't confirm it because I just don't know enough.
Well, fair enough. Well, the fact that they're all related.
Yeah, well, there you go. That's
literally first cousins and such like that is bad enough on its own.
Well, get this. I mean, think about it. I mean, I know New Zealand, 4 million people, small. But think of this. There's like 50 judges on the High Court, Court of Appeal, and Supreme Court combined. Of that, we have a husband and wife, Simon and Ellen France. We have two brothers, Warwick and David Gendel, I think. Yeah, so there's two brothers. And we've got like three of them that are like first cousins, O'Regan, White, and Wild. So they're all like at the grandparents level. They go to the same get-togethers. I mean, it's just... It's astounding how closely, well, it's very incestuous. I mean, I don't use that word often, but this, I mean, it's such an incestuous bunch. It's hard to get away from it. And litigants who come, defendants, especially in a Staley case, if they're facing the power of the state and you've got these state-appointed actors on the bench, they're not going to get a fair trial. In fact, the judge, in denying them trial by jury, which... Again, I got to emphasize, is there statutory right? But the judges nonetheless denied them the right. And she did so on two bases. And, of course, you can't know this because we in New Zealand aren't allowed to know this because it's suppressed. But the one is that the jury is likely to use improper reasoning processes. Now, what does that sound like?
It sounds like somebody's reasoning process is so rigid that they can't see the forest for the trees, making a judgment on somebody else.
Exactly. You know, so the whole purpose of why juries have been important since Magna Carta, going back 400 or more years, has now been discounted by a New Zealand judge who says, the people will get on New Zealand and a jury are going to be too stupid. They can't figure it out for themselves.
Well, see, I didn't know that, Vince. That you know, the, I mean, the fact
not
that this
to know that.
Well, the fact that this big, high-profile trial is being suppressed for a jury. I mean, what happened with Clayton Weatherston and all of these other people? I mean, didn't they have juries, or was it all judicial fiat anyway, and the jury was just ornamental?
No. Well, no, I don't think that's the case. But the judge gives the mandate to the jury. People don't realize that often a jury's only given the factual determination. The arguments on the legal issues are entirely between the judge. The judge makes those, determines that after submission to the counsel. So the jury is only asked to make a factual determination in the case of the Witherston thing. Did he murder it? And was he guilty of murder in doing that? That's the determination. In this Bailey case, they're going to be asked only, well, did they violate the Arms Act, and were they participating in an organized gang in accordance with the law? Well, why can't they determine that? I mean, that's insulting, really, to the people who'll be called on a jury for a judge to say that. And then to suppress it so people aren't allowed to know that she's denied them trial by jury, let alone the reasons for it. It's quite appalling, and it's interesting because somebody made this point a couple weeks ago that now that the WikiLeaks document is out, that these people have been, the police have told the U.S. Embassy that they're not likely to face incarceration. The government has a lot of backside covering because these people have already spent a month in jail without bail. So what are they going to do? Well, I can tell you the cozy relationship is they have a judge on the bench who's friendly to the government and is going to find them guilty of something so they don't come back and want compensation for being falsely imprisoned. And that's how it's going to happen. If it ever goes to trial, and of course that's a good point, it's been 3.5 years now coming up on 4, and the earliest trial date is now going to be next February, so it'll be close to 4.5 years at the earliest before they come to trial. What's that about? Justice delayed is justice denied. They got to wait 3.5 years to get a trial.
People don't freaking realize the stress that gets put on a person when something like that is hanging over you. You can't make plans. You can't do anything with the rest of your life until all that crap is lifted. And this is what a lot of the people in Christchurch are now thinking about. Apparently, soon enough, the Prime Minister is going to talk about how the suburbs are going to be divvied up and some are going to be completely demolished and abandoned. And the people living there just want to know.
Exactly.
We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen.
The word is about, there's something evolving. Whatever may come, the world keeps revolving. They say the next big thing is here, that the revolution's near. But to me it seems quite clear that it's all just a little bit of history repeating.
That's right. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. The lighter side of genocide. It's all about just a little bit of history repeating, because it seems that, legally speaking, we're going back to the Middle Ages. with all the incest, oh, sorry, inquests, and a Freudian slip there, into the judicial system with my very special guest, Vince Seymour from KiwisFirst.com, KiwisFirst.com. Vince Seymour, welcome back from break.
Thank you, Benny.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything more to add?
No, you spelled it correctly, Kiwis First. KiwisFirst.co.nz as well, but either way, for those at home. Anyway, it's a mirrored site. But there is a story up on Kiwis First having to do with the Operation 8 trial. And I'm half expecting them to try to they can't shut down the site because it's actually hosted out of the UK. But I half expect them to charge me again for contempt for breaching of suppression orders over that article. And it's interesting. I'm the only one that's facing legitimate prison out of this whole ordeal, if you take the WikiLeaks communication to the U.S. Embassy at face value. And you know, the other party that was prosecuted, and I mentioned the article, was the Dominion Post. They were that case of contempt brought by the Solicitor General was dismissed in 2008, but it was interesting how quickly that trial eventuated. That happened within a month. But these 18 people are still waiting, coming up in 4 years. And you're right, Vinny, what they're asked to do is put their life on hold when they're facing criminal charges. But it's actually worse in this case, and it's despicable. These people were branded as terrorists. Until they get their day in court, there'll always be a significant portion of the public to think that they're terrorists. And
even if they get off, there'll still be a significant portion of the public that still think they're terrorists because they're terrorists. You know, it's out of freaking control. Because as soon as the media launches into anybody and accuses anybody of anything at any time, that person will be branded for life.
It's very hard to do. But a sense of vindication comes at the trial, doesn't it? And if they're denied that through an inordinate delays, then that's an injustice in and of itself. I mean, you've got young people involved, many of them. Of course, the ages range from, I think, 19 up to late 50s in age. So there's a broad spectrum of people who fall in this trial. But just think of the younger ones in particular who out there trying to look for work and, you know, got the stigma. Oh, you know, you're facing what started off as terrorism charges, and now it's been brought down to a another charge, but nah, I don't think we want to talk to you. I mean, it's just terrible to have that burden and carry it for so long. And that's the injustice that I'm trying to bring to the fore, is that the court system is doing it. They're doing this in a vacuum where the public can't know, and what has to be the largest and most expensive prosecution in New Zealand's history, and we don't know what's going on. It's all happening in secret. And, you know, justice has to be seen to work. That's the whole purpose of a public and transparent court.
Isn't there a point here that really needs to be addressed? Is that don't people have the right to a fair and speedy trial so that their entire lives don't get messed up in the process for a very long time?
Well, sure, that's the whole reason behind the axiom that justice delayed is justice denied, for that very reason. And that, you know, justice as is occurring in the court must be seen to be done. And that can only happen if it's transparent. But we have none of that. It's just a total void. And I call the New Zealand courts a black hole of truth. What happens, and quite regularly, and again, people don't see it because files get suppressed and sealed by order of the judge, and the public can't search it unless the judge gives a leave or reason to do it. That oftentimes in these cases, and it happened in mine. I was sued for defamation, and the black and white defense was that I had the documents in the guy's own name, Michael C. Astney's own hand, and that of his lawyer. And what the judge said is, well, no, we can't accept that evidence because it was obtained through discovery in another case. Well, that wasn't true. I mean, it was my lawyer. I'm entitled to the files. If it didn't come as a result of discovery in another case, it was a very related proceeding. So that, but the judge used that because it turns out, again, to show how incestuous it is, the guy who sued me, four of the 11 judges on the bench were his former lawyer. What kind of fair trial am I going to get, or anybody get for that matter, when someone who's suing you has employed four of the 11 judges on the court?
I'm wondering why you're even bothering to turn up, Vince, quite honestly.
Well, that's a good point. People have told me not to. I said, you know, it's and my lawyer made a very good point, the last one. He said, you know, it's a show trial. He says, this is a show trial. This is to send a message to the public that this man has done something wrong and don't do what he's done, even though what he's done is totally within the law and it's the judge who the law.
But the public won't have any idea unless the media get involved, and they rarely get involved unless, of course, you wear a Alice in Wonderland dress.
Well, that's true. And then they won't report on the facts. They'll just report on the novelty of what's occurring. I had a this guy was I think he's still out there. His name's Tony Stickley. He's a poor excuse for a reporter, but he was an editor for the New Zealand Herald. He told me a number of years ago that they don't report on powerful people in New Zealand because they will get sued. So they will not report. He didn't say this specifically. I'm saying this. They won't report the truth because they'll get sued. When I said to him, well, this is important news and it's accurate, he said, it doesn't matter. He says, even when we're correct, we'll still have to pay $100,000 in legal bill. It's just not worth it. So what you get splashed on the front cover is
all of the poor people that get hooked up with drugs and alcohol that all the rich people feed to them.
Well, exactly. Or somebody runs off the road and hits a tree, or somebody's, some so-called celebrity is hooked up with somebody else, and that becomes a full front page. I mean, we're just
Somebody's pet goat has been stolen in a shy rural community.
And the kids are heartbroken because their beloved pet is gone. This is the type of news that we get. We don't get any news about these 18 people who were charged with terrorism, held without bail, and And the press won't do it because it's too expensive. But they get chewed up in the courts as much as anybody if they print what the courts don't want them to print. And in my case, this guy's suing me for defamation. And he won, by the way. He won $1 million, which is just ridiculous. So I show that everything's correct, and the judge says, no, that's all suppressed. And then the court issues a press release of his judgment finding me guilty. Now, they don't do that with every judgment. They did it in my case because they're sending a message. Free speech is expensive. That's the message they want to send. Free speech is expensive. And free speech may silence false speech, but it definitely silences true speech. And that's what more and more people are realizing.
Free speech has become somewhat of an illusion, or it's something that you have to kind of create and spread yourself because, hey, you won't get any help.
Well, that's true. And I think that's why people are increasingly going to the Internet for their news. Very few people watch, you know, the TV news now. I mean, that's a fact.
Or at least very few people watch it seriously.
Yeah. It's background noise while they're eating or fixing dinner or something, or doing something else. But
it's funny you should say that, because one of the guests on the show, Mary Byrne from the Fluoride Action Network in Wellington, said that I should do like a nightly at 6 o'clock kind of 30-minute news blitz so that she could listen to it while she was cooking dinner.
Yeah, that'd be a great idea.
Yeah.
People need more options in that time slot.
Yeah, absolutely. It needs to be done, gosh dang it, but the problem is everybody will need to have like satellite TV or cable TV or something along those lines. Or if you go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com and click on the Alternative Media Network banner there, we now have a Conspiracy Underground News Network channel, and my television show is playing on that. It's a 28-minute show. So there you have it, or at least that's a step in the right direction. In terms of making a nightly show, we'd have to just destroy the mainstream media, wouldn't we? Just break them down every day and tell people the truth.
I think they're destroying themselves.
Indeed. All right, thanks, Vince, for coming on the show with me today. KiwisFirst.co.nz, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks, Vince.
Thanks, or .com.
Catch you later, mate. And catch you later, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you tomorrow on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.